You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
I want to share for just a few moments this morning a thought that came to mind, and I hope that I'm able to communicate it with clarity and understanding. And we'll get around to New Year's resolutions, dreams, and visions. But I think there's, you know, as I look back, and there's some things I didn't accomplish this year that I wanted to accomplish. And I asked myself, why? Why didn't I do that? And it wasn't a big spiritual thing. It just was a practical, I need to go and do. There's two things in particular. And I thought, why didn't I do it? And I had great intentions. I was gonna. Have you ever heard the word procrastination? Just put it off and put it off and put it off. You know, I had one situation I needed to take care of before January 1st. You know when I took care of it? May 31st. I mean, December 31st, about 9 o'clock at night. I waited till the last possible moment. It wasn't a life or death situation. It was just I put it off. Well, part of it was I had to pay some money, and so I didn't want to pay it before I had to. Anybody understand those feelings? But it's really not procrastination that I want to talk about today. I want to talk about on this New Year's Sunday, I want to talk about this word, drift. Drift. What comes to mind when you hear the word drift? Living here on the coast, we think of a boat drifting. For our snowbirds and anyone who's lived in the north, we think of snow drifts. We might think of wind drift, might think of a drifter. My grandpa was a drifter. He moved from Germany when he was just a young man. He was an interpreter in prisoner of war camps, Camp Crowder. House burned down, all of his papers burned up, and he became just this nomad, and he and my grandma separated, and we had a little one room. When I say one room, it was as big as from where I stand to the Christmas tree, and from right here to the front of the stage was the little cottage cabin he lived in. Had a sink and a bed. When he died, we found $300 taped to the bottom of his table. That was in, and really that's all he had. And harvest time would come, he would hop trains and travel across the United States. When he passed away, I was just 4 or 5 years old. He had given me my old dog named Flip that had lived until I was in college. Used to go back. He lived probably as far from the wall to where his little cabin was, and I'd go back and eat white sugared donuts with him. And when I got older, my mom gave me 4 silver dollars. They're all in the 1800s silver dollars, and I think maybe one of them's 1904, something like that. And she gave me his pocket watch. And when she was with us for about a month this year. At Christmas time, she flew home this week. Why, I pulled out that pocket watch, and I mean, it is a heavy gold pocket watch. It's nice. And she said that was the nicest thing Daddy ever owned, was that pocket watch. She said, but when he was on the road, he would take old black electrical tape and paper, and he would tape that watch up to make it look like it was an old cruddy watch so nobody'd steal it from him. And then when he'd get home, he'd take it all off and kept it on a chain on his overalls or on his khakis. But he was what we would call, you know, it might call him a hobo, but he was a drifter. What do you think of when you hear the word drift? Some of you this morning, if you stayed out a little bit too late, you might be drifting off to sleep this morning. Or maybe some of you today, when you hear the word drift, you think of Dobie Gray. Give me the beat, boys, free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. That came to my mind when I thought of drift. When I think of drifting, I think of our resorts, our nice condos that have lazy rivers, and we just kind of lay back and just drift along. The Oasis down here at the wharf, where you just drift along. Growing up, canoeing and tubing, kayaking. Liz and I used to love to kayak the Chattahoochee when we lived in Atlanta, and just to drift along. I think we get the idea of drifting. And what I've mentioned so far is not really bad things. It's just kind of taking it easy, just letting life kind of take us along. But listen, there is a kind of drifting that's very dangerous. There are all kinds of warning signs on parts of the Mississippi River, or the Missouri River, and probably a number of other rivers that lets you know that there's locks and dams coming and that you can't go any further in your boat. There's all kinds of signs that say, you can't go any further. The Niagara Falls is just ahead. Can't drift along any further because there's danger. I think there's a spiritual drifting. And it's a dangerous drift. And Scripture has something to say about this, and it's in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, and it says this, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we, say it with me, drift away from it. For since the message was declared by angels, proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect or drift from this great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord. It was attested by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His word. Let's pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. The writer of Hebrews is addressing believers, and he's saying that there is a real possibility that believers can drift away from His word. I'm not in particular talking about losing your salvation. And there's debate as to whether a person who drifts from God was ever saved. I understand the whole theological debate. But the writer of Hebrews is declaring that we can drift away from God and His word and His obedience. So here's the question this morning. When you look back in a new year, you look back. It's interesting. When I preach weddings and funerals, they are both times of evaluating, looking at my own life. When I do a wedding, I always think of Liz and our marriage and how we have come along and how far God's brought us. And I can't help but reminisce about it. When I do a funeral, I can't help but think of the mortality of man And at this juncture, the legacy of my life, has my life counted? Does it make, has it made any difference? I go through that whole process. And when I come to a new year, I can't help but evaluate what's happened, not just in the church. This has been an amazing year. I'm so proud of this church. I love pastoring here. It was actually 6 years ago today that I preached my first message here. I'd got a call from a guy that said, hey, would you come and fill in? I said, I'm not interested in pastoring the church. He said, I'm not asking that. He said, would you just go fill in? And said, the church has gone through a difficult time. And so I spoke the first three weeks of January. And I didn't think about that, Pastor Philip, till this morning. And it was for various reasons that I was reminiscing about that. You look over the last 5 years, you look over the last year, and you see what God has done, and our church is growing. It's vibrant. It's alive. It's healthy. There's greater passion for the Lord. There's greater worship. There's an incredible sense of unity in this church. It's amazing. Our missions giving is booming. Our general giving is growing. God's hand is on a church. And I'd say this, if you're looking for a home church, come back for a few weeks. You probably found your church. Unless you're a troublemaker and there's a church down the street you probably ought to go to. I'm reminiscing this morning and have been, not simply about our church, but about my life and the way I live and the way I think and the actions that I have. And I'm asking myself, and I'm asking you to go on this short journey with me this morning, are you drifting in any way when it comes to the things, when it comes to the things of God? See, here's what I've discovered. Is it so easy to drift, and listen to me, and you don't even know you're drifting. Luke and I love to, when the storms come through, it's Dustin here this morning, he's a surfer, we have several surfers. Luke and I get our boogie boards and go back behind our condo and love to catch waves. And here's what I've discovered. It's happened to you, no doubt. You go out into the Gulf, and you just get caught up. And there's been days when it's been pretty stormy, and there's great waves. And I mean, it's just one after another. It's just pounding us. It's taking us in, and we go out and in and out and in and out. And then when we decide to get out, we walk out and we realize we're a half mile away from the condo because the current has taken us. Now, we've been having a great time, but we have drifted and we've not even known it. The spiritual application is so many people are drifting and they don't even know it. And they have forsaken. What does the Bible say? Therefore, we must pay closer attention. We've forsaken. We're not paying attention to the Word of God. Let me just give you a few things this morning of ways to tell if there's a spiritual drift. And I think the Holy Spirit's already spoken to you today to let you know. But I drift. And these things are so obvious. I drift when I don't obey. I drift when I delay my obedience. Spiritual drift occurs when I stop paying attention to what I've heard. We drift when we stop paying attention to what we have heard. Verse number one, pay more attention, pay careful attention to what we've heard. See, the letter that we're reading here is written to Jewish believers who had heard the gospel, turned from all their rules and regulations, all that Judaism was. They'd placed their faith in Jesus, but now they're slipping back to their old comfortable rituals, rules. Isn't that amazing? They have been delivered by grace, but they're slipping back into their rituals. Why? It's because when we're in ritual and routine, we're in control. Grace is a life of obedience and faith. Obedience and faith. What's amazing is that we stop listening. We stop being tender. I listen to God's word, but I don't let it change my life. It loses its amazement and its wonder. There's not a Sunday go by that I open the word of God and I preach that I don't learn. In fact, most of the preaching that I do is more for me than it is for anyone else. I just let you listen in what God's talking to me about. The last few years, I have been more amazed at God's word than I've ever been in my life. But when I listen and I don't obey, I don't choose righteousness, what's happening is I am failing to hold the word of God in esteem and honor and wonder and amazement, and I'm not letting it change my life. Let me tell you, there's some people that look at God's word and it's wonderful and philosophical and it's great for theological debate, but it's not changing lives. When we first got saved, we couldn't wait for church. We couldn't wait to hear the word of God. But it's kind of like when you first fly commercially. Those first times that you fly commercially, you get on, and I remember as a little boy, I was flying with my mom, and my sister and brother-in-law lived in Houston, Texas, and they were superintendents of a Bible college there, and we flew down for some summer break, and getting on that plane in Tulsa, and man, when it takes off down the runway, wow, it was awesome. The wonder, the amazement. How about this? When you first hear the stewardess, when she's talking, and she's talking about the seatbelt, it opens this way, and we have exits in the back, and we have these lights that are along here, the oxygen drops down, put it on your child first, goes around your head. I think I could do it. I think I have it down enough. The first time I listened, the second time I listened, I probably listened 5 or 10 times, but after hundreds of times of flying, I quit listening. I just know that's a part of the routine of flying. And I will tell you, the same thing happens in church. We quit listening. We just come to church. We love to see people, and we even love old Pastor Fred, and we love what Christian life, the Island Church, and love, but we're not listening. I drift when I quit obeying, heeding God's word. James warns about it. It says that we're to not only be doers, but we're to be hearers and doers, be doers of the word. Jesus said this in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" When you stop obeying God's word, you face a danger of drifting. But the good news is you can return. You can return. You can re-engage. You can commit and start obeying today. Amen? Here's the second thing I would tell you. I drift when I become apathetic about the fundamentals. I become apathetic about the fundamentals. First of all, what's apathy? What's apathy? Do you even care what apathy is? What about fundamentals? Fundamentals. I always come at things from an athletic point of view, old athlete. And everything was fundamentals. From the time I was in fourth grade, I played competitive basketball through elementary school, junior high school, and college. And then played in city leagues until I was 50. And some of you didn't even realize I was 50, and I appreciate your thoughts. But all through competitive basketball, we practiced the fundamentals. We practiced boxing out for rebounds. We practice defensive slides. We practice that athletic posture and playing defense, knowing where your man is, knowing where the ball is, knowing where the basket is. We would practice free throws. We would have shooting drills and dribbling drills. Played football up through high school, and we would practice every day. I was quarterback, and I would practice. I would go the length of the field, 100 yards down, 100 yards back, with one of my running backs, just practicing pitching the ball, thumb down, thumb down, thumb down. Come back this way, left-handed, thumb down, thumb down, thumb down. I did it every day that I ever played football, had practice. It was fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. Practice tip drill in football. Defensive back. What we did when we had an interception. Played baseball from the time up through high school. Played pepper every day. Batting practice. Infield practice. Hitting practice. A batting instructor. Learning situations. Practicing bunting. We did fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. I could go on and on. Golf and every sport that I participate in. The fundamentals. You never get away. You might have an extreme talent, but you never get away from fundamentals. Let me tell you this. When it comes to the church, here's what it takes. Can you say it with me? Fundamentals. Let's say it together. Fundamentals. Fundamentals. There's gifted, talented people. There's gifted, talented pastors. There's gifted, talented musicians. Talent will take you so far. But talent can't keep you, because talent doesn't necessarily mean character. Character is established in the fundamentals of life. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about praying. Do you talk to God? I'm not talking about crisis living. I'm talking about, do you have a time? Jesus had a place of prayer. He said, when you pray, not if you pray. Prayer is a powerful thing that God has linked to himself. God does nothing except in answer to prayer. And we never outgrow praying. So my question is, do you ever pray? Do you ever take time? Do you ever have a moment where you set aside and you spend time talking to your Heavenly Father? Talking about fundamentals like praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God's looking for worshipers, not watchers. The hour's coming and now is when they that worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you a worshiper? Are you a worshiper at home? Are you a worshiper at church? Or do you stand with your hands glued to the back of that chair and look around at everyone? Do you ever think for a moment, I want to sing this song and sing it as unto the Lord? Fundamentals, the Bible, the Bible. I'm talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about letting God speak to you from his word. Not just waiting. One of the things I love about this church, one of the things I love about my wife is her passion to establish small groups and Bible studies in this church, and we do them. And it creates an atmosphere and an accountability to go through those Bible study questions, to look at God's Word, to be in a group, and to talk about the things of God. Make a commitment to be in the Word on your own, as a group. Get involved in a small group. Get involved in our Bible studies. They start in just 2 weeks. We have two Wednesday nights where we're going to have prayer meetings, and then we start our Bible studies. Be a part of growing and learning in the Word of God. Would you consider reading the Bible through this year? Do you know it's taking reading three chapters a day. You read the Bible through. Liz reads on her phone and there's a program, and she'd be glad to talk to you. If you're younger than us, you probably already know that, you know, there's a lot of Bible on your phone. You can find your Bible. Do you know that there's Bibles on your phone? If we're older, we're just learning that, but I can't read on screen. There's something about it, a bullet point read. Man, I have to have the book. It's just that old part of me, I guess. But find a Bible that you can understand. Let me give you an idea. Why don't you get a Bible this year? Buy you a new Bible. Underline it. Make comments in it. Write in the edge what God's speaking to you. And then give that Bible to one of your kids. And say, hey, I just want to give you this Bible. I read it through this year. Here's some things the Lord spoke to me. Maybe when I'm old or gone, you might read it. It might be meaningful to you. Hello? Just a thought. Just a thought. In fact, we always honor those folks. Anybody in this room, you read the Bible through this year? Stand up, because we want to say congratulations. Look at this. Woohoo! Yeah! That's awesome. Good for you. Next year, why don't we double that? Triple that. Amen? The fundamentals. What about this? Tithe. Tithe. The tithe represents whether you are a your kingdom builder or a God kingdom builder. When you do your taxes this year, look and see if at least 10% of your earnings you tithe or not. Listen, if you've been a Christian for 10 years or longer and you're not tithing, you need to take a hard look at your faith and the Word of God. You say, Pastor, you're going to run people off. Listen, they're not tithing anyway. That's a joke. Okay. I know it's early. It's hard for you to follow my humor sometimes. I'm just telling you, the way God has designed to bless His church, to provide for His church, and to bless His people is through the avenue of tithing. It's a trust test that we do every week, that I trust God, that He can do more in my life on with me tithing than what I could do if I kept control of it all. What about soul witness? Soul winning. When's the last time you led someone to the Lord? When's the last time you witnessed? When's the last time you just invited somebody to church? Listen, that's as important as anything. Go in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house might be full. You know what? I love preaching, and I love preaching to you. I hate preaching to empty seats. And if we don't have a pretty good-sized crowd in the next service, I'm waiting till next week. I'm going to preach this sermon again. Because I think everyone needs to hear we do the fundamentals. Somebody say amen. It's how churches are successful. It's how your life is going to be successful. It's not how talented you are. It's not your personality. It's character that counts. And character says, I'm not drifting, but I'm doing the fundamentals. When I'm not doing the fundamentals, I'm not obeying. I'm drifting. Amen? When I don't deal with sin, when I lack thankfulness, I'll come back at some juncture and preach on those. When I harbor unforgiveness, Isn't it time? How about this year? How about today? You stop living in the past. How about today? You stop rehashing what happened. And how about today? You forgive. Christianity is built on the premise of forgiveness. I'm going to tell you something. I tell you this often. I tell you this exact thing. The hardest thing you will ever do in your life is to forgive. The greatest thing you will ever do in your life is to forgive. And you can live looking over your shoulder, and you can live constantly, I was wronged, I was wronged, I was wronged, I was wrong. It's not going to change. I've been giving some thought and study and reading just some little devotional, inspirational books on changing the way you think. Change the way you think. Change the way you think. You've got to get out of a victim mentality. You've got to step into the victory that there is in Jesus Christ. The past is not going to change, but your future can change. Somebody should have said amen. My wife said amen. My mom would, if she's here, she's here last week, she would have said amen. Is anybody else here with me today? Let me tell you how this all comes together. Here's where I wanted to get to, and I skip through half of this. When I have no God vision, I drift when I have no God vision. Proverbs 29 and 18. I grew up memorizing from the King James, with no vision, my people perish. The NSV really gives us a good fundamental translation of that passage, and I think a better, because I get it, where there's no vision, my people perish. People are perishing because there's no vision. I like that, but it reads more this way: where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. When I have no God vision, I drift. Without a dream, let me read this paraphrase. Without a dream, people don't exercise self-control. When men and women have nothing to live for, they cast off restraint. And it hit me. And this is the genesis for the message for drifting. Resolutions, we do everything backwards. We do everything backwards. Here's the top six resolutions for the year. So, number one is the same every year. And it is lose weight. And I'm ahead on that. I'm ahead. I've lost 29 pounds in the last 2 months. I wish there was some way I could market this. I would turn it into a multi-level marketing company and make millions. But I just quit eating sugar. So it's hard to make money off that, isn't it? That was all funny and you didn't laugh, so that's okay. Here's the top resolutions. Lose weight, exercise more, stop smoking, eat healthier, be a better person, spend less, save more. And it's pretty much the same. I looked at several articles, and there were and those are all wonderful things. I looked at several articles, focus on love, get rid of anger, pursue peace, getting rid of perfection, stop being a people pleaser, quit being so negative, stop gossiping, get rid of toxic people in your life, stop comparing yourself to everyone else, quit living with regrets. List goes on and on. There, was one article I read about 13 things to be successful. Give up. Give up on the unhealthy lifestyle. Another way of saying, you know, lose weight, eat better. Give up on the short-term mindset. Mae West said, you only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough. Well, actually, we live twice. We're alive, and then we're born again, that second birth, and we live for eternity. Amen? Give up on playing small. Give up on your excuses. Give up fixed mindset. Give up believing in the magic bullet. Give up your perfection. Give up multitasking. I love this. Winston Churchill said, you'll never reach your destination if you stop and throw stones at every dog that barks. Give up your need to control everything. Give up on saying yes to things that don't support your goals. Give up toxic people. Give up your need to be liked. The list goes on and on and on. And let me tell you, I love all that. I read that stuff, and I think it's wonderful. Read a couple other things. Cancel your subscription to other people's drama and negativity. Throw out your trash before 2017. They had picture people with their trash bags going to the trash can, fake friends, doubts, bad habits, and grudges. And I thought, man, all of that is good. But why do we fail to meet our resolutions? Why do we start strong and end with regret? So many people, listen to this. So many people, their dream has been overshadowed by their disappointments and their sorrow so long. Their dream is a distant memory. So many people don't even make resolutions or have a dream or have a vision, and it's because of all the disappointments. There's no passion. I wrote this down. My goal for 2017 is to build a stronger relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if I do that, then everything else will fall into place. The Bible says, seek ye first. Do you not have professional goals, financial goals, family goals? You betcha, I have all of them. But I'm going to tell you, the reason that we get off track is we forget. We are not simply a soul, we're a spirit. And we've got to have a prophetic vision by God inside of us that fuels our life, because money's not going to sustain it. Just a good relationship or just trying to find peace, it's got to be God. And when God fuels the dream, I want to be more like God. I want to seek first the things of God. It's amazing how I have discipline in every other area of my life. And so the objective this morning is this, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Somebody say amen.